And her mother said, "How dare you, like, say that you have a medical condition? These poor people who have epilepsy, you know, and you're using that not to go to school."
Oh my God.
And then, of course, she had a convulsive seizure.
Fellow Homo sapiens, welcome to, or welcome back to, Epilepsy Sparks Insights. Now, there are some wild stories to be heard from our podcast star, epilepsy specialist neurologist Jacqueline French, who this week, in part two of two, tells us more about the Human Epilepsy Project, where, for instance, she discovered that a woman was misdiagnosed with having menopausal symptoms only, and it turned out to actually be a brain tumor-related epilepsy. Stay with us to learn more.
I am an epilepsy specialist. I work in New York at NYU, New York University Hospital, and I also run a nonprofit called the Epilepsy Study Consortium. And then my third role is that I'm Chief Medical Innovation Officer of the Epilepsy Foundation, which is the patient-facing organization in the United States.
And do you see, or have you noticed, disparities between different parts of countries and people from different socioeconomic backgrounds yet?
I'm sure that they exist. We have not looked at it, you know, in terms of delay of diagnosis in our study. We did look at some other types of disparities, but that one we haven't looked at, but it would be very interesting to look, right? Because I think it would probably take even longer.
Yeah.
But it can take very long, even in high income countries where people are getting the best of care. You know, I heard a story, you will, you know, your mouth will drop open, but this is a woman who currently is on the board of the Epilepsy Foundation, so very plugged in. But when she started having seizures, she was having little myoclonic jerks with her type of seizures, you know, little body jerks, when she was a teenager. And they would happen a lot when she would wake up in the morning, which is very common for the kind of epilepsy she has. And so it would take her a long time to get out of bed in the morning. And her mother said, you know, "You lazy thing, get out of bed. You have to go to school." And her mother was very upset with her. And this was going on for a long period of time. She took it upon herself, because she is a very smart young lady, to start looking on the internet, because she was sure that there was something wrong with her. And she, you know, came back to her mother and said, "You know, I've been looking on the internet and I'm wondering whether these things are seizures."
Wow.
And her mother said, "How dare you, like, say that you have a medical condition? These poor people who have epilepsy, you know, and you're using that not to go to school."
Oh my God. And then what happened?
And then, of course, she had a convulsive seizure, and her mother probably has never forgiven herself.
Do you know what? I've got something to compare that with. So I was having like seizures for, well, possibly since I was a baby, we don't know, but anyway, I was diagnosed as a child. I found out a member of my family didn't believe I had seizures until I was 31, 32, until he saw me have a tonic-clonic. Oh, and he literally said, because I don't remember much about that, but I do remember him saying, "Oh, I believe you have it now. Thanks, mate. Cheers, dude." You know, it's just because, yeah, and it's shocking. I bet this is way more common than people realize.
Absolutely. I mean, our study shows it's very, very common. And it's mistaken for so many different things. I mean, I can tell you story after story after story where people, you know, are mistaken for having anxiety because they have like a panic feeling associated with their seizure or some other psychiatric issue going on. I had a patient, she wasn't in our study, but I had a patient in the past who was having spells and was told that, you know, she was like a 50-year-old woman, so she was told that this was menopause.
Oh God.
And then when she started to urinate on herself, she was told that she was having bladder issues due to menopause and was sent to a urologist.
It's just...
And finally, when the diagnosis was made, sadly, she had a brain tumor, and that's what was causing it.
Yeah, sometimes you just get left speechless. It's just... sometimes I wonder how much of this is down to individuals and families being in denial. I don't want to think about that. Or how much is down to just outright ignorance?
If you ask people what a seizure is, they just are not aware that these smaller episodes can be seizures. I mean, it's just not something that people are aware of. So, I mean, I don't blame them for not realizing it. We have to do a better job. I think that the, you know, the onus is on us to do a better job of spreading the word.
Yeah, I agree. And things like, well, you know, we've recently had International Rare Disease Day. And actually, lots of people don't realize that many epilepsies are actually rare diseases, right? But so there's that. And then we've got Purple Day and so many things. Do you see these as opportunities for us to kind of reach out to the general public and families in a more sort of positive, constructive manner rather than having a pity party?
Wouldn't it be great if, you know, television shows started to not focus on the convulsive seizures, but show people that we're having other kinds of seizures as well? And I always say, you know, like, I don't know how it is in the UK, but in the United States, we have commercials for multiple sclerosis drugs, commercials for Parkinson's drugs, commercials for Alzheimer's drugs. I have not seen one commercial for a seizure drug, and I don't know why that is.
Well, I was talking to somebody else the other day, how great the marketing has been for different cancers, how great it has been for MS, how great it has been for all these different diseases. But epilepsy, like, despite the epilepsy being so, like, directly related to many other diseases, right? It's absolutely crazy. I did a post recently saying that, you know, people, for instance, with HIV will often develop epilepsy. And people go, no. Well, mate, if it goes to your brain, you know, or all these different things, or dementia and the relation there. And so I mean, I don't know what about you, but I would love it if we could have organizations who, say you have a Alzheimer's specialist or something like that, they would be also talking about the impact of a developing seizures and epilepsy, because it's a huge part of the lovely package of this disease.
Yes. And, you know, one in 26, I think, 1 in 26. So, I mean, you know, we always talk about the fact that, you know, on every school bus of children, there's going to be one that develops epilepsy in their lifetime. And we also talk about the fact that it is more common than many of the diseases that people are much more aware of, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease. You know, it's 10 times more common than multiple sclerosis, but it seems like people have heard of that much more. And, you know, part of that is because, you know, people with epilepsy can hide their condition, and they usually do if they can. It's a question of making sure that, you know, people are aware. You know, in stroke in the United States, the National Institutes of Health waged a campaign for people to understand the symptoms of the beginning of a stroke. It was called FAST, I think. They had a campaign, and you could see, you know, billboards that would tell you, you know, this is the signs of a stroke.
There has been a relatively recent Irish TV series. It's really good, and I'll put a link to it. But basically, one of the main characters, they're a really dodgy family, basically like the mob of Ireland, doing drugs and stuff. It's all fictional, as far as I'm aware. Anyway, and one of the main characters develops epilepsy, and he's having focal seizures at first, and then he goes to secondary generalized, and he has tonic-clonic. Tell you what, it's the best I have seen when it comes to focal seizures, because you, like you were saying, you never see that on the TV or in, you know, in the movies or anything. It's actually a good series apart from that as well.
That's fantastic. So we need more of that, and I bet that the person who did that, who made sure that that was in there, is somebody who has experienced it or has a loved one who experienced it, and good on them.
Oh, it's called KIN. That's it. Just remembered, K-I-N, as in, yeah, family. So check it out. And so if anybody wants to learn more about you, I mean, you just type in the name, everyone. We have one of the most famous people here. But the work that you're currently doing and you want people to look at, where should they go for that?
Well, for the Epilepsy Study Consortium, you can just plug that in, Epilepsy Study Consortium. For the Human Epilepsy Project, we have a website for that. So just type in Human Epilepsy Project. And the Epilepsy Foundation in the United States, there's a website for that. In fact, we have one of the most looked at websites for epilepsy, which is epilepsy.com.
A huge thanks to Jackie. You can find links to Jacqueline and her work at the Epilepsy Study Consortium, the Human Epilepsy Project, and the Epilepsy Foundation via the website. If you haven't already, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and see you next time.